Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery's American Scandal. Our newest series looks at Aaron Hernandez, a star football player who shocked the world with a brutal crime. But behind Hernandez's violent actions lay a much larger health crisis affecting the entire sport. Listen to American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me here is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hello. How are you, Ben? Oh.
I am doing so well. We're here today to talk about The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which I can't believe season finale is next week during vacation, no less. That is so cruel. Actually, do we know if it's next week or is it going to be happening?
Not next week.
Is it happening?
We're
going to
be here. We're not going to miss the finale of Salt Lake City. Are you kidding? I would record that on Jesus's damn birthday. I'll tell you that.
Are they off next week?
Yeah. I mean, next week is Christmas night, so they can't, right? Or the night after Christmas night.
Well, you know, Bravo, they are good. Christmas is on Monday, so it'll be the day after Christmas. I don't know. If Bravo puts up the finale of the day after Christmas, I will be furious.
No, I already looked because I was like, girl, as Monica would say, girl.
I can't believe
I would call it Bravo and say, you know what? My family is from here and we built this network. So,
I feel like you built this now.
So fucking annoying.
I feel like there still needs to be like at least three more episodes of the season. I just feel like there's so much stuff that has to be resolved. I'm shocked. It looks like there's not even going to be a finale party. It looks like it's going to end in Bermuda, which is shocking. But if our suspicions are correct, I think we surmised this a few weeks ago, that the phone call that Heather received that we saw teased in the beginning of the season that looks like it's happening, the finale, we believe that phone call is going to be that Heather finds out that it's been Monica suing her beauty lab and laser all this time. That seems like it's the logical thing that will happen, that will shatter this group and shatter their relationship with her. And I am just like, I cannot wait for this finale. What about you?
Yes, it's going to be some good times. And, you know, we do get some hints about it. And the coming in the season finale clip, we saw Heather freaking out about it, obviously, and saying, this is the ultimate in bullying. She said something like, this woman has been bullying me, so I guess she's been bullying Beauty Lab and Laser. I mean, I want to see somebody bully the Botox people. Listen, I've been tempted, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I do not look 20. I've definitely wanted to get on there and be like, fuck you. These people don't make you look young. No offense if any of you are listening. Love you guys. I would never do that to you. But listen, anybody who's been to the esthetician has wanted to bully them at some point. You know, isn't that natural?
Sure. I don't know. I haven't been to the esthetician really for that sort of stuff. So,
brag about it. Well, when you go in there, they basically show you pictures of children and they're like, Botox. And you're like, oh, really? Wow. Well, that person is 10. So why are you opening a business with 40 something, 50 something people coming in? And then you're showing us basically 10 years old and at 10 year olds and acting like, oh my God, you're going to make us look like that. You know what? You're promising. You're over promising. And also we should outlaw people in their early 20s being on ads for fucking Botox and chemical peels because it's not fair. Okay. You know what the kind of peel I want to do to you? I want to do the manual peel where I peel your face off and I fucking Buffalo Bill style wear that shit. And I can walk around with your 20 year old face, stupid Botox model.
So this is the established tone for today's recap. We're in a really happy,
I'm mad now.
We're in a healthy place right now.
It's fine until you got me mad about Botox models.
Did I get you mad?
You did.
So, So either way, excited for that. Also, just a programming note, we are going on vacay at the end of this week, but we have content up all scheduled for next week. We have our four-part recap of Ladies of the 80s, A Diva's Christmas. That's going to be all next week with the Reality Gays. We love them. We love their podcast. So be sure to watch that movie. That's on Lifetime. It's terrible. We're not telling you it's a good movie, but it's you're going to have a lot of fun making fun of it with us. So go watch that. Also, we have recaps coming up next week for the second two episodes that dropped for Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, because three episodes, Peacock dropped three episodes of us on the premiere. So we did the first episode, in case you missed it, that went up late last week. So episodes 2 and 3 of Girls Trip will be next week. I can't wait to recap those, because wow, those episodes were absolutely hilarious. So it's going to be good stuff for next week. So definitely still keep listening, keep tuning in. And that's basically all for that. So let's like talk about Salt Lake City in a way that will not make Ronnie want to peel someone's skin off and wear it on his face out of rage.
Too late. I've already added myself on that one. Okay, let's pretend none of that ever happened. And Bermuda, baby, woo! So here we are in Bermuda. And the butler, wait, who's the butler? Nanny? Who's Nanny? Who's
Nanny? Yeah, Nanny. I thought Nanny was going to have a larger presence because I'm sort of in girls trip mode. So I was like, oh, Nanny, let's see what Nanny has to say. And Nanny literally just like delivers, just says another beautiful day. And that's his only presence in the entire episode.
No, he didn't say beautiful day. So
beautiful day.
Sorry. Oh, is that what you said? Yeah,
don't. No, I said beautiful, but then I change it to Bermudaful.
Yeah, because here's the thing with Nani. Okay, Nani had an opportunity here to be great, but instead Nani came on and said, "Hey, isn't it another Bermudaful day? Get the fuck out of here with that." Okay, what are we in a tourist shop? What are you going to make me a keychain with my name on it? Get out of here. So I was glad he was gone. I was like, get rid of him. We don't need this kind of energy. We don't need tourist shop kind of energy in here, sir. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye. So, but of course, Lisa loves it. She goes, yes, it's Bermudaful. Yes, another Bermudaful day. Hi. And then Monica's reading birthday cards from her kids and, of course, crying. And then her kids write, P.S., please do not get arrested, which is hilarious because they really know their mom well. I'm actually surprised Monica emerged from this trip without getting arrested, given her track record of being sued by a car wash and also being arrested. So, you know, it was a valid concern. She wasn't arrested by the car wash, I should say. That was two separate things. I just always like to remind people that she's being sued by a car wash, because that's the funniest thing ever to me.
Yeah, that is pretty good. So we see what everyone's doing. Monica and Heather go take a walk together. Heather's in this mode where she's always in these weird big pink headphones. I'm not really sure what's going on, but every time we see her, she's in them. And then she even does that thing where she's like, hey, you want to come to my room and we'll go for a walk? And then Monica's like, grr! And so she comes up to her room, and then Heather's like, what? I couldn't hear you. I had on my earphones. Why? Why are you always having your earphones on? What are you trying to tell us? What do you want us to ask you about that nobody's asking you about? Because
Right. Don't
invite me to your room and have your headphones on and then not hear me at your door. How rude.
So then Heather's like, well, so I thought a lot about last night, and I'm really glad you agreed to meet me and go on a walk. So let's go on our walk. And, you know, I really have been so excited for this trip. You know, last night, I'm sorry I lost my temper. I think I was just tired and mad and just like, I think that like being a New York Times bestseller of the book Bad Mormon, which is available at Barnes & Noble and other book resellers, is just a lot of weight on my shoulders. So I really do apologize.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm so sorry I lost my temper. And then we see a clip of her being like, wait a minute, you're still married. You're saying you're as single as me? No one is as single as me. I'm the singlest. I'm the most single. What boys in the hood? I'm singleton. I am singleton. What? I still don't understand why she was so mad and needed to be the singlest of all the singles.
It's still not totally clear. I think that like the PTMD post-traumatic Mormon disorder can like creep up in strange ways where like just relics of whatever issues she had with the church just somehow like infuse these moments. So Monica's like, honestly, girl, I was thrown, girl. And Heather's like, well, I feel like it started on the bus when you were questioning me and my daughters about sex. And I felt like you were coming for me. And that surprised me too. So it was just like already brewing. And then to have it repeat, you knew it was a touchy thing for us. I mean, as it was detailed in my best-selling book, Bad Mormon. And you just dove in. And so I think that's why I reacted so strongly.
I mean, Heather was sensitive on the bus, but Monica was trying to like start shit with her when she was like, I've been sex shamed, so let's do something else now that I've been sex shamed. But of course it's Monica, so she's like, she does something and then she acts like, oh my god, why have you victimized me, which she does for the entire episode.
I just want to say, I think that like Monica and Whitney and Heather have had such a number done on them by the Mormon community that they were raised in, that they just have these extreme sensitivities about sex. So for as much as they like to be like, I'm liberated, the moment they detect even the faintest like nuance of sex shaming, I think it just like triggers them and brings them back to like their families or the people that like shunned them. So I think they're just like hyper sensitive, because honestly, when Heather said that she didn't want to talk about her daughter's sex life, it did not read to me, at least as it was presented, as something incredibly sex shamey. It just sounded like she was like, I don't want to talk about this on camera. You can talk about it with your daughters if you want to, but I'm not going to. So that Monica read into it like, I've been sex shamed, I think speaks more about like her issues with her community than it does anything else.
Well, I'm just watching so much Bravo right now that, I mean, everybody has these weird sexual hangups. Like, you've got this show with that. Then, you know, you've got that kind of insecurity about aging, which when we age, as I know, because I am doing it currently, you might remember me being mad at the Botox ads. But anyway, I'm aging. And there is like a certain thing I notice on these shows when there's older casts that they start doing the whole, look, everybody, my vagina works. You know, or if they're men, which there are, like Southern Charm, that Shep, like, look at me, still boning. Everybody's like very insecure to prove that they can still fuck. But then they have shows like the younger shows, like Winter House, and those people are all trying to define themselves on sex and like who wants to fuck them, and oh my god, did somebody pick me? And oh, and I think it's just a good old-fashioned American puritanical mind fuck. I mean, the Mormons have their version of it, the Christians have our version of it, the gay people have our own version of it. Everybody's got their own kind of flavor of it. But if you are in America, you were kind of raised with a puritanical sex shamey kind of line of bullshit, and I think it affects everybody, and it's interesting to see it affect all the different demographics kind of at one time on Bravo.
Yeah, except for on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, where it feels like that is not really at play anymore, and they are just 100% horny ladies.
No, 100% it is. They're not all that horny. I mean, give me a break. You've got to be exhausted, okay? You're in your late 60s and early 70s, and I'm not saying people can't have sex then. You know, obviously, we know that they can, but I'm just saying they have like an overcompensation in that show, I think, trying to prove like, I still got it. Oh my god, all I want to do is meet somebody. Oh my god, I hope there's guys here. Like, literally, no, nobody cares that much. You know what I mean?
For sure. Well, I think on that show, you have definitely some like women who are like these. You have these women who are just like really kind of hitting their stride in a certain way. Well, I mean, it's weird to say Sonia's hitting her stride, but like in a sense, like Luann is. Luann has really hit her stride, I feel like, in terms of what she is doing in her life. I think she seemed like the most like, this is what I want, this is what I want to be. And now she's like, I'm a star, fuck me, you know? And I think she's just like, there is that element of the fact that like she feels like she's in her stride. She everything is going great. She has her cabaret thing. She's on The Masked Singer. She had a spinoff show. She looks great. She's feeling full of life and everything. But the truth is, in this sexist society, she is a lady who is over 50, and a lot of guys are really not going to like pay attention to her. And so probably there's like an element of like, that's probably why she's so horny, but also like everything's great. I just need to get some. Although I do think that Luann is probably getting a lot. I think she is. But
I was gonna say, I don't know that Luann really has a problem.
Luann probably is getting a lot. But she definitely acts like she's to what you say, like the fact that she says it, she's like, let's get some. Like you sort of get the feeling like she's not. But she definitely, I mean, I would be shocked if she, I feel like I'm talking myself into a maze of thoughts about Luann, which is why she's my favorite Bravo person of all time, because I find her to be endlessly fascinating. But the point is, I imagine if you feel like you are hitting your stride and you're of a certain age where you know you're not the quote unquote like desirable category, that like definitely creates some sort of like cognitive dissonance between like how you feel like you should be treated versus how you are treated. Not even sure what my point is anymore. I think
well, actually, as Paula Abdul once said in her show, I'm so sick of not being treated like the gift that I am. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's just like a whole, every show has a different reason. But right now, this week, is a lot of people just being like, oh my God, like there's like freakouts of sex in different ways. It's not all the same thing. I guess I just noticed it. I don't know. It's a new year. And I'm like, wow, these shows, that's like the running theme of the week, you know, because it's been pirates. You know, like that's the theme 1 week. Or 1 week, it'll be like vagina freezing week when everybody gets their vaginas cryoed or whatever on Bravo. That's the running theme. And right now I think it's just like everybody kind of like, oh my God, what if I can't have sex anymore? What if no one wants to have sex with me? Here's what happens. You just watch a TV show and read a book and life just keeps going and getting better. I mean, what the hell, people? Everybody calm down is my point, okay? I'm not saying who should be fucking, who shouldn't be fucking, how old you need to be to still be getting it. No. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying everybody calm the fuck down. Stop defining yourself on that one quality. It's weird.
Well, I think in this specifically in the context of Salt Lake City.
Do you define yourselves on how much you poop? We all do it. I mean, the sex is like the same thing. We all fuck. Like, who cares?
Does this mean that we can make poop jokes now?
Not jokes, but that's what I'm saying. We don't talk about it all the time, and it's something natural that we do all the time. I just don't understand why everybody's freaking out about sex on Bravo this week.
Well, I think that getting back to the original point, which is that I think the reason why Whitney is later on in the episode, but Monica, I think the reason why they freak out is because I think they were raised in a community where they were like really like, you know, being sexually quote-unquote promiscuous or just leaning into sex was looked down upon, and there was like a lot of shame around that. So now, as for as much as they proclaim that they're like, ugh, like I am away from that church and I'm sexual and I am going to put a pole in my basement and I'm going to talk about sex and I'm going to slather myself up in chocolate sauce and roll around with my husband and call it art, as much as there's like the sense of sexual liberation, you can see the moment there's like a glimmer of anything that reminds them of the people that like shamed them for so long, they're brought right back to that place. And I think that's what happened with Monica here with Heather.
Okay, so Monica's like, okay, look, we're getting to know each other. You know, we don't know each other, and so now we're getting to know each other, and now I know that there's certain topics that aren't up for discussion. No, because she didn't really ever say sex isn't up for discussion. She doesn't want to talk about her daughter fucking. It's like inappropriate.
Right.
Like her apologies are wrong. And she's like, and I don't want to be in that place with you because you've been so incredible, Heather. You've been so incredible. And Heather's like, okay, then let's not be in that place. And they hug. And she's like, okay, let's just move on from this. And she's like, okay, so how are you feeling about the Meredith thing? I'm like, okay. So you've moved on from the daughter fucking bomb, which wasn't the main bomb. Let's move to the main bomb that you dropped, yeah, which was the Meredith bomb. Let's see how you can make yourself a victim in all of this, because it really is quite astonishing. And how people follow her down that path every single time, where they're like, oh my God, she is the victim.
Well, Heather's like, you know, it was a lot, you know, and I'm wondering if Meredith even sent the DMs. And Monica was like, well, I don't know. And Heather says, well, what does your gut say? And which, by the way, I'm not sure I would trust Monica's gut on things. I think it's led her into some problems in the past. I'm just saying.
Guts are untrustworthy. We need a new saying. Guess what my gut says? Peanut M&Ms. That's literally all it ever says. Don't ask that fucking gut for anything.
Guts are really not reliable. I don't know why people go there. Yeah. So basically, Monica's like, you know, I wouldn't think anyone would send DMs. I wouldn't think anyone would do that shit. And Heather's like, well, don't say things like that. Like, I mean, you have a fake account. Like, what about you? Do you have a fake account? Do you send yourself? Oh, because I'm sorry. Monica says, I wouldn't think any of you guys would do it. I would do it. Ha 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 ha. And Heather's like, well, don't say that. Because, like, do you what? Do you have a fake account and do you send yourself DMs? And I was like, no, not to myself, girl. Which is funny because that's exactly what we were saying last week as a possible theory.
Right. And notice how she didn't say, well, I wouldn't send DMs, fake DMs to myself. No. So of course, she's saying, of course, I would send them to other people. But also, a real housewife being like, what? Someone with a fake account sending DMs to people trying to get evidence out there? Well, I've never heard of such a thing. Really? Have you ever heard of Miss Jill Zarin, who is giving herself fabulous book reviews? What was Jill Zarin's fake name on Amazon? It's like, let's look it up. Jill Zarin's fake name on Amazon reviews.
I'm going to say Mimi Shapiro.
Is such a gold story. Susan Saunders, that's her name. This is from Reality T. Susan Saunders, yeah. Well, if you're Jill Zarin of The Real Housewives of New York City, you log into your Amazon.com account, change your name to Susan Saunders, and start leaving good reviews for your book. Unfortunately for Jill/Susan, she's been caught red-handed by Gawker.com.
Oh my God.
Dun, dun, dun. To make things worse for Jill, there's photographic evidence. According to Gawker, it all started when Jill, or someone going by the name of Susan Saunders, decided to reply to a negative review. Here's what they wrote. They, but then, of course, the picture is expired. But classic. That is a classic, and that is years and years ago. So let's not pretend that housewives haven't been doing this forever.
Yeah. Susan Saunders. I don't think I even realized that. Or I've forgotten. That's great.
History,
Ben. What a great wrinkle.
History.
Yeah, that is history.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
It's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, the Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids. Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Heather is saying she doesn't want to really even face the idea that someone in their group may have created a fake account to spread lies and negative gossip, which is funny because that's what happened last season with Angie Harrington and her husband. So she's like, we've all been victims of it, even Meredith. And it's hurtful when a stranger trolls us, but a friend, to think that someone would go so low to harm someone in our circle, it's the ultimate betrayal. It's devastating.
Okay, so here's a clue. So she says the ultimate betrayal, she calls it. Now, she's referring to somebody making up fake names and sending DMs and stuff. But in the trailer, we see her crying in Bermuda and saying, oh, my God, this is the ultimate betrayal. So do you think that that's what the ultimate betrayal is? I feel like that's
a hint. To be fair, I feel like Heather says the ultimate betrayal a lot. Like, I feel like she goes to Jamba Juice and they're out of straws. She goes, it's the ultimate betrayal.
That was my parking space. The ultimate betrayal.
Your soda machine is down. The ultimate betrayal.
People on Hanukkah, people who celebrate Hanukkah get a gift every day. The ultimate betrayal.
Like, she says it every day for any reason. Like anything.
The milk is expiring tomorrow. Ultimate betrayal.
Oh my goodness. She opens she's like, junk mail. You may have already won $1 million. Ooh, wow. Damn it. The ultimate betrayal.
Oh my God, I've been approved for an American Express card. Wait, I have to apply for the American Express card.
Ultimate betrayal.
So she's like, yeah, that would be the ultimate betrayal. So Heather's like, okay, guess what? We're going to turn up today, right? We've got it in us. Are we going to get ready for the yacht, Monica? Are we going to cry like a little baby? Or are we going to have fun today? Monica's like, oh my God, let's talk about sex. Just kidding. Want to have sex? Just kidding.
Are you receiving a fax right now, Monica?
No, that's just the way I talk.
So Meredith is in bed FaceTiming with Seth, and he's like, so how are you holding up? And she's like, well, I'm struggling a little bit. Bermuda's beautiful, but this has not been a real easy time for me. Literally last night, everyone came at me and it was insane. I mean, Lisa yelled at me like I was crazy. It was very, very nasty. And it just was just Lisa. I mean, Heather was not supported either.
So it's like, okay, well, let me ask you about my good friend, Whitney's boobs. Have they asked about me? They said anything about me at all?
Seth, genius, can you just pay attention to me for about 5 seconds? I'm trying to tell you I'm not feeling very supported.
I'm just trying to decipher what's really going on here and who's responsible for what, which is why I wore a fortune teller turban to dinner last night. Mm-hmm. Trying to understand.
So then we cut to a Whitney fun scene. She's like, I grew up playing tennis. I'm no Serena, but I do play. Line. Tennis, Whitney. It's tennis.
Tennis. Yeah. It's for stress, and this trip has been stressful.
How is it that we're 4 seasons in and we are only finding out now that Whitney played tennis? I feel like people who play tennis on Bravo are pretty loud about the fact that they play tennis, because they're always like, want to play some tennis? Remember Hannah Burner's season, first season on Summer House? She's like, tennis! So
we keep coming back to Jill Zarin. I don't know why she's in my Jill mind today, but that's like classic New York, right?
Like, that was,
well, you know what? Some people go play tennis with other people. And that's it. And Luann got all combative on the tennis court. Wasn't she playing with Jill? Wasn't that
their
thing?
Because I think what happened was that Jill challenged Ramona and Mario to a tennis match in the season one. And then Luann played with Jill because Bobby couldn't play or something like that. It was a whole drama. And they were very competitive. So Whitney and Angie go to play tennis, and Angie's like, well, you know, I play with Sean and Electra once in a while, but I'm not good at it. So they're playing tennis, basically, and it goes just as well.
You should pretend that this tennis ball is Meredith, and then you'll hit it hard.
And Angie hits the ball, and every time she hits it, it says, you, I'm glad they found another way to recycle that. This time in black and white, pausing between tennis balls.
I know. They are really wedging it in there. I mean, thankfully, so like this is a good note for Real Housewives of Potomac. It's not like this gag was amazing, but here's a good way to use a gag that does not stop the entire show for 25 seconds. The show continues moving forward while the gag is going on. So, Angie is, they just played bad tennis as usual. Bravo, bad tennis. And then afterwards, Angie's like, you know, honestly, after last night, I am just like blown away that we are yet again addressing Meredith spreading more rumors about me.
That was next level crazy, because she was just like sitting there and then everyone was coming at her and then she's just like smiling at everybody. Oh my God, how could she do it? And how could she then?
Oh, she says, and then she came back to the house and she just had cake with us like nothing happened. Okay, Everything else you said, I'm like, you know, she's probably trying to make you guys realize that she's not this person or whatever. Meredith eating cake. Okay, there's something fishy here, and we need to get to the bottom of it. We've never seen that. Have we ever seen Meredith eating cake? I need...
Bermuda Triangle is at work here. Like, this is not the Meredith that we know. She's been swapped with a doppelganger. The real Meredith is on a dinghy somewhere in the middle of the ocean. Her... Like, this was some weird triangle shit happening here.
Ooh. So she's like, and Angie's like, you know why? Because she's guilty. And she's like, yeah, well, she thinks she can skirt by without owning it, and it will just go away. She's, you know why? Because she is guilty. That is why. You know who else is guilty of loving Kalamata olives? Me. I am Greek.
Yeah.
I mean... How long can she keep up the facade before we're like, you're not safe, you don't take accountability, you don't take responsibility, you don't... I don't have a third word for that, so I'm just going to say, we don't want you around.
And Angie's like, you know what, this is unwell behavior. And Whitney says, okay, well, what about her freaking out at Monica? What about Heather freaking out at Monica? And Angie's like, I had no idea that was coming. Every culture and their religion is a lot of sex shaming. So it's basically what you were saying before, which is that, you know, Mormons grow up with a lot of shame around sex. And so I guess Heather being... her daughter's being accused of having sex or before marriage, or them questioning Heather having sex outside of marriage, it just triggered her. And Whitney's like,
but she won't talk about her own sex life, but she wants to talk about everyone else's, which triggers me.
Oh my God, you're triggered, Whitney. Wasn't last week or 2 weeks ago just about you being on Meredith's podcast talking about how you were banging Justin under his desk when HR came in? Could we please stop pretending that Whitney is so offended that anybody would suggest that she's sexy? Which, by the way, is all that happened in that book. I read it. With my ears, Meredith, I listened to it.
Meredith, you exploited my mouth for you to sell podcast sales.
So Whitney's like,
I just finished reading her book, and of all the stories she could have told about our friendship, she chose to write about when I hired her to do my boudoiria photo shoot as an anniversary gift to Justin in 2017. And it just rubs me the wrong way, because she gets weird when her sex life is brought up, but she'll write about mine.
A boudoir photo shoot is not sex life. I'm going to say that. I'm going to draw a line. I think a boudoir photo shoot is a photo shoot that is supposed to help or inspire a sex life, but it is not actually the sex life itself, unless you're having sex in the boudoir photo shoot.
She did not talk about her sex life. This scene was not at all about that. I read it. And I don't know why I want points for that, but it's rare. I don't read many Bravo books, you know? So, like, I want to be paid for it. But she, it wasn't about that. Also, there was a clip, which was odd, right? We saw a clip of this happening from 2017. So, I don't know if that was, like, from their sizzle reel that they made before. Maybe. Or if, I don't know where they got that footage, but I thought that was interesting. But Heather was talking in the book about how she was a photographer to make money after her divorce. Like, she had always enjoyed photography, so she was trying to figure out a way to make money doing photography. And she did boudoir photos, and someone recommended Whitney, who is like a sexy kind of a model. And so Whitney came, and Heather was like, wow, this girl is so free and beautiful. It was a positive story, and there was nothing sex-shamey about it. You took boudoir pictures for a lady, in front of a lady who takes boudoir pictures. There was nothing. It's weird. And it's also right when they met, so of course she's telling a story of how she met you. It's being read by Housewives fans. So I don't know. Whitney's stretching for this.
Whitney's trying to find a way in to this. She's just trying to create a fight. That's all she's trying to do. She's trying to, like, she feels like she is not, I'm sorry, she feels like she is not in a, like, the front and center this season, so she's just trying to wedge her way in. So now everyone's gathering to go, and Lisa's very antsy that they're not late, because Lisa had texted out everyone, we're going to go to a yacht. So Lisa's like, come on, everyone, we need to go. Anja, are you ready? We're late. We're just going to go without Anja. So they They go. Angie comes out late, and she's like, I'm here. I don't know why I'm explaining every little detail of them walking into a van, but when you watch it, to me, I think when I was watching it, I was so deeply entertained by just the simple act of them gathering and stepping into a vehicle that I wrote, I was like, this is gold. This is so gold right now, because I just enjoy the show so much.
So why people tune in. They're like, wow, you know what? I hope they talk about that part where Angie walked really slowly in the car. Walked
gingerly through the foyer to get to the van. I was like, wasn't that great, guys?
So, well, we never know what's going to happen. You have to write, if we don't write it down, then guess what happens? Something important every single fucking time. If we're like, oh, they're just walking to the car, who cares? I've got 5 minutes to put on some lip gloss. Then the second, you know, then we miss some piece of evidence that people bring up later and we're like excoriated. Like, I cannot believe that you left out that part. Well, I sounded like an old timey horn, didn't I?
I can't believe you didn't really go into detail about the way Angie walked out of her room a few minutes late. But it was kind of funny because she was walking so gingerly. She was like holding like a sunglass case, and she was walking so gingerly as if she were balancing like multiple plates in a survivor challenge. She's like, okay, one moment. I'm just fighting for immunity. Oh, no. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. By the way, Survivor's really good this season. Finale is tonight. I'm really excited. Go on, mm-hmm. Ronnie.
I don't care. That's too much for me, that show. Too much. Good. Too many people not taking showers.
That's true.
In one place. I just don't like that. That's true. Also, it's like, okay, never mind. I'm not going to start again. I'll let you all rest for that one. You're welcome. So Meredith's like, well, they go to this boat, and Angie is like, you know, the last time I was on a boat with these ladies, my shoes went overboard. And then we see a clip of Jen being like, fuck me, and throwing her shoes overboard, and then immediately being like, what about me? What about how I feel about my shoes?
So, you know, this is Salt Lake City because they have arrived and the yacht is not a yacht. It's a catamaran, which was actually in season 3 or 4 of Potomac. This was actually an issue because I think that Monique Samuels actually rented a catamaran in Bermuda, and they all were like, why is this a catamaran, not a yacht? If I remember correctly, I do remember specifically
Married to Medicine. That definitely happened. They were very,
the issue
very
is
upset.
On Bravo, people don't like it when you promise a yacht and you provide something that's not a yacht, especially if it's a catamaran. But here, Salt Lake City, the franchise that places their castmates in a parking lot behind a mountain of dirty snow, they're just happy for anything. So they're like, yeah. Wow, great, a catamaran.
They're so happy. They made this a catamaran, not a catamaran. They loved it. Or not a cant. A Moran. They loved it. And it was also one of the nicer catamarans, I have to say. This was not like a low rent where you're getting splashed, because some of them are really low to the ground and people are like, bouncing.
Those are the Vanderpump Rules ones. Those are the ones that you go on, like at Sheena's Bachelorette. Sheena's like the night before her wedding last season, they went on a catamaran. Remember Lala being the good person that she was, decided that she would go on the catamaran because she's a friend. And they were like on that boat and they were basically like underwater the entire time.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Catamarans we have known and seen on Bravo.
Yeah. So Meredith is... So Angie makes a joke like, well, with this tension today, I wouldn't be surprised if someone slept with the fishes. That is what the mafia does, right?
Yeah. Because I am owning and playing with this Greek mafia. Ha 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 ha. By the way, in the van, also notably, Monica was shaving her legs. I'm putting that out there because that is the sort of thing that someone will say. I can't believe you didn't mention the fact that Monica was shaving her legs in the van on the way to the boat. So it has been mentioned and noted.
Yeah, she's like, this is reminiscent of my whole face. So then they get on the boat and meet Jameson, who, God bless his heart, I think he's camera shy. I'm not really sure what's up with Jameson, but wait, was this the guy, was this the really awkward guy with the arms? He was like, hello ladies, welcome. Well, I mean, even the people who are the under five roles are extremely awkward community theater actors on the show. I just love the consistency across the board. You know, he's like, yeah. Welcome to the catamaran. I'm Jameson. I'm going to show you different ways that you can do things. We will do things on the water.
It's just Angie Harrington in a mask. Like she's just in full, you know, magic. Not magic, like the make the prosthetics or magic. So everyone's like on getting on the boat. Everyone's doing a group photo without Meredith. And Meredith is just sitting there saying, you know, after last night, I was hoping to have fun with my friends, but it's very clear that everyone is trying to ice me out. So I am on an island, and I don't mean Bermuda. I am completely alone. What I'm trying to say is the metaphor, when you see someone say, when someone says they're on an island, much like on Survivor, it's a metaphorical way of saying you are alone amongst people. Do you understand what my joke was? Should I clarify this further?
I made a funny. Is anybody gonna notice that one?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Heather's like, wait, what is this? I thought you said it was a yacht. And Lisa says,
it's like a super sex strong boat. That's what a catamaran is. Like, ah.
That's a definition of a catamaran.
I thought it was so
super sex strong boat. Catamaran. Noun.
And also evidence that we're watching Salt Lake City and not like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is that the catamaran was called the Zara. And I was like,
I mean, dead. I died. I was like, it's the Zara of boats.
It was just like, why not just call it Hollister or something?
No kidding. What's the one that Teresa does ads for now? Not Team
Shein.
You. That's some other.
You're Shein, on the yeah. SS.
The boat's called Shein. By the way, have you gotten suckered into Temu yet? Are they an advertiser? They're not.
Temu. Right.
Before I start talking shit. Have you? I think. Okay. I was going to ask you, is the ad Temu? I think it is.
Oh. And not as opposed to the Liberty Mutual Emu. The Emu, Lemu.
Oh, that I'll bet that's what it is. Because I, you know what? That maybe Temu named themselves after those commercials got in everybody's heads. Because I was like, I've heard of Temu. I've heard the commercials. Temu. Because I love that song. I love a short song that's just right to the point. It doesn't make you sing all day. It's just like a quick Temu. And so I was like, this is a totally reputable site. And they've got a lot of things that are cute for $5. So I bought some stuff on there the other day. It was just a link I clicked on while shopping. And it looked cheesy because you have to like spin a wheel. You know, one of those like a pop-up and you have to like spin the wheel. They're like, see what kind of discount you get. Okay, enter your email address and your phone number and your social security number and then you get a discount. And I'm like, my mother's maiden name. And so
that wheel.
And you have to download the app. I was like, this seems so shady, but this stuff is so cheap. And plus I've heard and I bought stuff. And then later I looked up, is this real? And I was going to ask you if you remember this site, Emu, but you're saying it was the Liberty Mutual.
Temu? So
who knows if I'm going to get any of this shit. Yeah, Temu. And this is not like cloaked advertising, everybody. Please don't go get robbed. I don't know if it's legit or not. And also don't sue me, Temu, because I'm not saying that you're going to rob me. I don't know. I literally don't know. It's just asking advice.
You know what? I tried to type it in and I got a search result of someone named Timu Salan, who is a Finnish ice hockey winger. And honestly, sort of attractive.
God, Timu. I just won $100 in coupons. I hit the jackpot. I won $100 coupon bundle at Temu.com.
Okay, I'm on Temu.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm seeing lots of t-shirts now. Okay, Ronnie, this website is offensive. Okay, I go on to Temu. I'm seeing a wall of t-shirts. One thing says to-do list and then colon.
Like spelled out?
To-do list. Okay, to-do. Like I'm wearing a t-shirt that says, here's my to-do list, colon. The next line, your mom. But your mom is scratched out. Like, that's been done. I fucked your mom. That's the site that you just took me to.
No,
there's one that says the golf father.
I think it reads your history and then it gives you results based on your maturity level, because I have jackets, watch bands, one of those massager. I love massagers.
Mine is like massagers. MAGA stuff. There's one that's like a, it's, well, an American, I guess we just flag found out what Ben's like been elk.
Searching for.
I just spent many hours researching Le Creuset versus Staub Dutch ovens, and the fact that this is what Timu pulls out of it is fucked. That is fucked. Okay.
Oh, like, teeth whitening. I love that.
Why do I... Wait, are we... It's T-E-M-U?
Yeah.
Why is my stuff all like bro dad shirts?
You need to... Yeah, you need to really clean up your search history. Fair.
Wait, maybe I'm on the wrong...
And I know this is meant for me, because I've got one that says a drone with an HD camera, because I love that. So I haven't bought one yet, but I really want to get a little helicopter thing. I love those.
You know, I'm scared of them because I remember there was some teenage boy who had one and he like didn't fly it right, and like the propeller sliced his neck open and he died.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I mean, anything can kill you. Am I right? I'm still ordering it.
Okay.
If nothing else, it sounds like probably had it coming. I'm going to get one.
This site is, I don't. Funny D's Nuts Ornaments.
Okay, we should probably move on. We're now doing a bonus episode.
But this is, by the way, yeah, this catamaran should have been called Timu.
Yeah, this is like the Timu.
So they're out there. They're on this catamaran. Whitney's like,
Whitney, who does not want her sexiness talked about. Okay, continue, Ben.
Don't exploit my vagina for your catamaran. So,
oh my God, it's a pole. And then Whitney starts swinging. That's what I thought you were going to say. Whitney starts swinging around a pole. And
it's a railing for the staircase to go downstairs to the bar, and she's pole dancing on it, which is fine.
I mean, it technically is a pole, you know?
Yeah, it's not unlike what she does when she goes into Zara. So then Heather's looking at birds. She's like, oh, look at that. It's a long-tailed Bermudian finch or something. And then Heather sits down with Meredith and goes, okay, Meredith, right now, let me just give it to you straight, okay? Because I don't want you to ever look at me and to say, the ultimate betrayal. We have a real friendship. And I, too, was blindsided last night. They all think that you are creating a fake account and sending direct messages.
I am not doing that whatsoever.
Well, they think that you're giving Monica all this stuff in DMs and then, like, conveniently calling her to tell her to go look at her DMs. I mean, that is... What's up with that? Is it convenient? What's happening? Is it the ultimate betrayal?
I'm not doing...
And Heather's like, well, the issue is also like you didn't have a reaction last night. Well, I am trying to process this because there's a lot of elements here and a lot of them are not adding up. It's kind of like Brooksy's little toy chest. A lot of things are there and a lot of things are scattered around the floor and you're not going to get dinner until you pick it all up. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you know, this show really makes you nuts. First... they just keep coming at Meredith. Like, there's all not coming at Meredith. I don't want to make her a big victim, but there's so much fighting that it makes Meredith crazy enough that she has to take benzos to even be with these people. Okay. But then she takes the benzo, and then they're like, why aren't you reacting? Because you made it to the point where I had to take so many drugs, I can't react. Like, it's not fair. You can't hold the drug addiction you gave me against me in an argument about DMs. That's what I say.
I did not DM her about Angie. I did not accuse Angie of being the mafia. In fact, I told her a story about the mafia, and she planted that.
So now we finally get, like, Meredith's side of the whole thing. She gives a whole monologue about her experience with Monica and all these things.
So she's like, well, on our flight back from Palm Springs, ding-ding-ding, ding-ding-ding, Meredith, you don't have to do that. We're going to do that in edit. All
right. Sorry, that's actually Brooksy's little nighttime lullaby.
So she's like, all right, well, on our flight back, doodly doo, Monica and I sat next to each other, and she started going into all these rumors and gossip about Angie, which makes sense because Monica got mad at Angie and decided she's going to turn on her immediately. Now, when Angie's the one who's her connection to the show, I mean, it was Jen Shah, technically, but Angie was like her friend on the show. Normally, it takes a year or two for a new Real Housewife to betray that friend, but Monica just did it like the first group trip. She's like, fuck her. So, of course, Monica got on the plane. This makes sense that she would get on the plane and try to poison the well against Greece.
The motive is there. And Meredith was angry at Angie because Angie, like, crashed the trip. So Meredith goes, then a few weeks ago, I went to lunch with Monica. And after our lunch, we were chit-chatting. And I said, it's so funny because my friend told a story that a venue a door or two down had been run by the Greek mafia. I'm not going to name names, but if you were to see Nia Vardalos coming out of there, I would not make eye contact.
Monica asked, do you think Angie's a part of it? And I said, I have no idea.
Okay, well, doesn't that sound like... Okay, well, here we are. Oh my gosh, isn't that funny? That place used to be run by the Greek mafia. Angie's Greek. You think she's part of the Greek mafia? I don't know.
That's exactly
what that sounds like to me.
100%. That is exactly right.
Also, these fucking tricky-ass editors... They have footage of this day. They went to lunch. Do we get to see it? No. We just see little bits of we know they have footage because we see the footage, but we don't hear anything. They don't show us any lines from this except them saying cheers. Then they keep cutting away. So hopefully they're planning on using this at some point because they were following them when this all went down, right? So we see them walking like through the little town. And then Meredith continues, 2 or 3 weeks later, I receive... all sorts of documents and stuff via Doom. And they're about Angie. And they're all tying back to things that she told me in the little town. Meredith, we're not doing that. We're not showing that clip. Why are you showing the clip, Meredith? Here, take this pill, Meredith.
So I thought it was really weird to begin with. So I called her up and I said, ow! I just stepped on a Playmobil that Brooksley left out. Sorry about that. Why wouldn't I ask her, did you get this too? Right? So then she said, you know...
Which, by the way, makes total sense.
I think this entire story actually tracks and is... This story 100% moved the needle for me, and I came out of it believing that Meredith did not send the DMs.
And I just have to make this announcement, too. Yes, Meredith came to see a show in Salt Lake City. Like, yes, we met Meredith. She was very nice. They were very her and Seth, very lovely, okay? I don't care. I'll still come make fun of somebody or call them wrong every single day. And you guys know that that's the fucking truth.
So before anybody starts with that.
Yeah, this is not bias. I legitimately am like, that makes sense. Now, do I think Meredith is a gossip who wants to bring down Angie? Of course. Do I think she loved talking about Angie's bankruptcies with Monica, who is bringing them up in the first place to ruin Angie? Of course. I think she fucking loved it. Do I think that she saw in Monica somebody that she could bring people down together with because that's her hobby? Sure do. But I'm not buying this whole story that, oh my God, evil Meredith was telling this poor innocent new girl all this stuff and then sending her evidence. Yeah. I don't buy that
story.
This
story totally tracks. And also, and like, Monica is such an unreliable witness. Also, for anyone who's like accusing us of bias because Meredith came to our show, like, also, like, even if there were bias, like, honestly, who cares? We are not in like the appellate court of like the second division of whatever the United States. This is not a court of law. This is a podcast, and we're talking about a TV show, and we're allowed to take sides, and we're allowed to be influenced by people, including listeners. Like, we could be biased by what a listener thinks. We could be biased by knowing someone. Like, I really don't care about bias and when it comes to talk about this stuff. It's all fun and silly. So let me have my opinions no matter how I get to them.
Well, I just wound you up. I love that.
Yeah,
you sure did.
Well, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of when people say
but
that.
You know what?
Like, why don't you be more objective? I'm like, it's a podcast. Like, I'm supposed to have an opinion.
I got you all upset, but no one really accused us of that. The reason I'm saying it is because I just feel like reading comments, like, a lot of people are like, oh my God, Meredith, obviously guilty. And I feel like normally I could see how that would be the case. In this instance, I'm just not buying it. To me, it just seems too convenient that that Meredith, who's already been accused of doing this secret shady DM stuff, she's trying to come back from that. I don't see why she would immediately start doing it badly again. It's too convenient.
Yeah, and again, Monica has proven to be an unreliable narrator about certain things, and so I think that Meredith's explanation makes full sense, and Monica is really good at twisting the truth. Monica is just of that category of housewife that we see many, many times, where I don't think that she is lying. I think that she hears a version of the truth and interprets it in one way. And so she's telling what she thinks is the truth. She's not like actively lying. I think that, like, Tamara does this. Others do it. I can't think of others off the top of my head, but like, it's a pretty common trope. There's like just she's certain personality types.
Enough truth that you can't say you liar because you did talk about this, but it was not in the intention that she's making it out to seem to make you
but
look
she hears
terrible.
Things that she, even I think if she hears was the what one she wants to hear. Out. And it gets like warped and twisted, and then she regurgitates out as if it were fact. And it's like, no one ever says, maybe she heard that wrong, or maybe she's interpreting this wrong. And she's just one of those housewives that does that. So Meredith tells Heather, you know why I called her when I got that DM? Because the DM referenced a bunch of stuff that you'd already sent to me. And that's why I called her. We're now coming back to present, by the way. That was what that was about.
So this also explains Meredith's reaction or non-reaction to Monica in general. When Monica brought this up, when Meredith was shit-faced, I mean, could you be more specific? But the night that they got back and Monica's like, so, remember when we were talking about, and by the way, you remember those DMs we were talking? When she brought all this stuff up on camera and Meredith was just kind of like, wow, this girl's really going to bring all this stuff up on camera. There was that reaction to it. And then when she was saying it in front of everybody else to throw Meredith under the bus, I think Meredith was kind of frozen there like, what is this girl doing? And yeah. Like, what am I supposed to do in retaliation to this? Because if I start screaming and yelling, I'm going to look guilty. So I'm going to have to figure out what the fuck this girl's trying to do before I do anything, right? And also, yeah. If she is that calculating, you know, this was her first clue where she saw her and went, oh, so that's what she's doing. I need to find out who this girl is, because if the accusations are true, because they made the accusation again last week, something, well, one of her friends already went to federal prison, meaning Meredith's friends. So they're already making that insinuation again, that it is Meredith who's calling people and getting them thrown in jail and doing all this research on people and doing this, this, and this. If that is true, Meredith just in that moment got her little glimpse of, oh, I need to research this girl. Here I was thinking this was someone on my side. What's going on with this crazy pants? So
yeah,
that's a new little Leia.
So Heather's like, at this point, I don't know who to believe except my publisher, who says the book is selling like gangbusters. It seems like Monica hasn't told us the full story, much like my book, which is a full story. But Meredith's history with DMs and digging up dirt isn't making her look good either. What do I do? So Meredith goes, well, I guess I just have to deal with Monica.
Hey, everyone. So this is a two-part recap. So we're going to pause this right here because it's going long. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you so much. And keep an eye and an ear out for part two coming up very shortly on your podcast feed.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Hitchells.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches.
Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch Her Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.